Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Appreciate our worship team. Would you give them a hand clap? They do a good job. I was raised old school, which doesn't surprise any of you, but I was raised old school by parents, both of them who'd grown up in the Deep South. Both my parents were raised in Georgia and in the 30s and 40s and 50s. And so by the time I showed up, they had some real strong beliefs. One of the things they believed in was manners. You had to have manners in my household. If my mom or something called me and said, "Alan," I went, "Yeah." That did not work well in my house. In my house, it had to be "yes, ma'am," and "no, ma'am," and "yes, sir," and "no, sir." I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying it's changed, but that's how I was raised. And when I had to come to the table, I couldn't just show up, you know, come in the outside playing, no shirt on. I had to put a shirt on, had to comb my hair, had to have my face washed, hands washed. It was kind of formal. Sat at the table, napkin in your lap. If you wanted the meatloaf, you couldn't say, "Hey, would you give me the meatloaf?" You would say, "Please pass the meatloaf." Because if you didn't say please, they'd look at you like, "What's the magic word?" I'm like, "Oh, please." And if you did, then they would hand you the meatloaf. And if you did not say thank you, they wouldn't let go of the meatloaf. And so I grew up thinking that manners were very important. In fact, I remember very distinctly my mother sitting on the edge of my bed in the seventh grade and looking at me. She said, "Honey, if you don't have looks, manners will go a long way." Like, thank you, Mom. That's not very encouraging at all. But in growing up, I thought that saying thank you was just simply part of being polite, and have not realized how powerful gratitude is. Gratitude, and they were doing all kinds of studies on it. Gratitude's a powerful thing. And so today I'm going to talk to you about leveling up gratitude. You see, gratitude will actually rewire your brain for joy. We're almost trained to think negatively. We're look for the negative. I won't ask for a show of hands, but there's some of you who could walk in a room and immediately spot what's wrong. A picture's hanging wrong. This is not, that didn't match this one. You find what's wrong. I don't know that that's a great skill. I guess it's good if you can take it and use it positively. But a lot of times we're trained to look for what's negative. And so we say, "Well, Alan, that's the way I've been raised. I mean, how can we change that?" Well, actually, they say that if you begin to express gratitude, that it can begin to rewire your brain for joy. And that you can begin to rewire your brain so instead of scanning for negatives, you begin to look for hope and opportunities. That's a good thing. And so we say just gratitude. I think we've really, Jordan and I were talking about this. I think we have really downplayed gratitude. We thought, it's a nice thing to do. You know the Navy SEALs do gratitude? They do gratitude training. They called it micro successes, where they look for something to be grateful for, like, "I got a warm meal," especially during training, budge training. I'm here for another sunrise. And they start being thankful. And you say, "Oh, that's kind of ridiculous." And no, not if you want to be a happier person. If you want to be a happier, more positive person, if you want to control your emotions, just begin to be grateful. Now, you say, "Well, okay, how am I going to be grateful? Okay, I'm grateful that it's not 100 degrees today. It's only 98 degrees. You can find something. About last year, around Thanksgiving, I decided to create a grateful journal. And every night before I go to bed, I write down at least three things that I'm grateful for. At least three. And my wife will tell you. She said, it actually has helped you. It has brightened you up. Not that I wasn't bright to begin with. But Joy said it helped me. Because, again, I'm not looking for just the negatives. You start to look for the positives. And it will help you. It'll help you from a neuroplasty. It works. And here's the good news. If you're a believer, we have even more to be grateful for. If as a believer, and this is what, you know, as I've been, you're the third group. It's so good to see you because you're my woo crowd. You're my happy crowd. You're all awake. And this is good. Because I really believe, even more so, even after preaching this is the third time, it is a missing link in our Christian walk. It is a powerful, powerful thing. We think it's nice, it's powerful. Now, there's a verse, I was just reading this the other day. This is one of my favorite verses. It's in Colossians, 2 chapter, verses 6 and 7. It says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord," that's us, "so walk in him," connected to him, "rooted," that's where your identity is, "and built up in him, and established in the faith as you've been taught," look at this, "abounding in it with thanksgiving." Abounding in it. Some translations say, overflowing with gratitude. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you know somebody who just overflows with gratitude? Well, a lot of times, we're just like, "How you doing?" "Yeah, I'm good." But I know very few people who overflow with gratitude. So I'm looking at this myself going, this is the missing link. In the faith, but see, here's the deal. When you're just looking for things to be grateful for, you'd be grateful for a good cup of coffee. You'd be grateful for a good meal. You can be grateful that you had that you didn't kill your spouse today, that y'all got along. It's good. You'd be grateful for those things. But this is being grateful for things you can't see. You can't feel. This is being grateful for what God says about you and His Word and God and the promises of God. And you begin to find these things and you're grateful. Now, I know immediately you start talking this way and people are like, "No, Alan, I'm just a realist. I'm real. I'm real. If I can't see it and feel it, then I'm not going to be grateful for it." Well, you don't want to go that way. Because the Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. So we're not living our whole life here down here by how we feel and what we see. Because if that's the case, you do this. You'll roller coaster through life. But yet we live by faith, not by sight. So I was thinking about it years ago. Joy, 40-some years ago, Joy had a thyroid situation and they gave her radioactive iodine and killed off the thyroid. And Matthew was just a baby. I can remember sitting in the waiting room waiting for her. They came out and the nurse came out. She said, "Well, we gave Joy radioactive iodine. You need to stay away from her for a couple of days. No hugging, no kissing. Don't let her hold the baby." Well, I looked at Joy. She didn't look different. She wasn't glowing. There was no green haze around her. She looks just like Joy. I'm like, okay. But because we believe what the nurse said, we believe the word of the nurse. So that next couple of days, Joy would come in the room, we'd leave the room. Joy would pick up the baby, and we had a revelation this morning. That's what happened to Matt. I looked at Joy, I said, "That was it. That was it. You picked him up. You should not have picked him up." No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Matt, actually, if you get around, he's brilliant. But we realized something, that just because we couldn't see it and feel it doesn't mean it wasn't real. And just because you can't see or feel what God's Word said doesn't mean it's not real. It is real. And what we begin to do is we begin to thank God for the things we can't see and feel, based on what His Word says. See, I don't know about you, but I've never seen Jesus. But I believe He was born of a virgin. I believe He lived a sinless, spotless life. I believe He died a brutal death on the cross, but after 3 days, God raised Him from the dead. He's alive forevermore. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. I believe that. And when you believe that, we sing that song. Who else is worthy? We give Him praise because we believe something we have not seen. And when you do that, it begins to change things and you can begin to be thankful for what you haven't seen yet. And I'll give you a good example of that. There's a king in the Old Testament, his name was Jehoshaphat. He was a good king. I wouldn't suggest naming your child Jehoshaphat, because they're going to change it up when he gets to school. Go call him fat or something like that. So don't do that. But Jehoshaphat, as you look at his life, he was a good king. He really was. He was a good king. And he had a genuine heart for God. Now let's read what it says about Jehoshaphat. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's earlier. He had a father named Asa, who was a good king. He did not worship the images of Baal, that was a foreign god. He sought his father's God and obeyed his commands instead of following the evil practices of the kingdom of Israel. So the Lord established Jehoshaphat's control over the kingdom of Judah. He was the king of Judah. Then there was the nation of Israel had split into Israel and Judah. He was the king of Judah. Judah had the good kings. Israel had the bad kings. All the people of Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat, so he became very wealthy and highly esteemed. He was deeply committed to the ways of the Lord. He removed the pagan shrines and the Asherah poles from Judah. He had a heart for God. He was deeply committed to God. He followed the good examples he had, David and the ancestors that lived for God, and he followed that. He had good examples, and he was committed to God. He started moving all the idols and stuff, took that out of Judah. Just had a heart for God, and God was with him. And you read that, and you go, okay. But here's the good news. Everyone can have a heart for God. Everyone can have a heart for God. Everyone can... Listen, wasn't Jehoshaphat some special, and you're not. Everyone can have a heart for God. You've got good examples of godly people in your life. You say, Alan, there's nobody godly in my family. There's good examples here of godly people. And as you get involved in church, that's one of the benefits of church. You get to meet people who live for God, and it makes a difference. Oh, and I'm telling you something. Living for God means I'm bringing God into my life. I'm connecting with Him. I'm thinking about Him. I'm living a life that's deeply committed to God, and that makes a difference. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he wrote this. He said, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. It has promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Yesterday, I got off the phone with my college freshman roommate. We hadn't connected in over 40 years, and I recently found out he had cancer, and I got a hold of him, began to talk to him. And as I was listening to him, one of the things I wanted to check in is, does he know the Lord? And he talked about he had a relationship with the Lord. And, I appreciate that. Prayed with him. Prayed for his healing. Asked God to do something in his life. But as he told me, he and I were freshmen together, and then he dropped out after freshman year, and he began to tell me about his life and how his life went down this path. And when I finished listening to him, I remember getting off the phone. I wasn't thinking, well, you know, I've had a better life. I began to think, oh, God, thank you. Thank you that at 22, I came back to you. Thank you that I turned my heart towards you. Thank you that living for you has made a difference. It hasn't made everything perfect, but living godly will make a difference in your life, and it'll make a big difference in your life. Listen. You've met people and I've met people. I've met people say, I regret getting involved with that group. I regret getting involved with that person. I regret doing drugs. I regret this. I've never heard someone who was honest to say, I regret living for Jesus Christ, because it is not something you regret. It is something that helps you and blesses you. You say, well, Alan, I don't know if I have much of a heart for God. Here's what will help you. When you understand how much God has a heart for you. See, it's a lot easier to have a heart for God. You realize how much He loves you, how much He cares for you. It's going to be up again on YouTube. You can find it on our YouTube channel. I did an interview with my daughter last year. And a number of years ago, my daughter had come out of an abusive relationship, and she was actually planning on getting married, and the marriage fell apart, and it cratered her. It took her out. And they had her own prescription meds, and she was abusing those. And I got a call one night. I was up here at the office. I'm coming home, and I get a call from Joy. And Joy said, Alan, she just want to let you know that Christina's at home, and she's drunk. Matt picked her up. She was drunk and got sick, and Matt had to go get her, dropped her off. She's at the house. I said, well, thank you. When I got in, I think everyone was expecting, here's the pastor's daughter. Everyone's expecting, uh-oh, here comes a sermon. And I saw her there, and she was drunk. And I remember days back in the past, B.C., before Christ, when I'd been drunk. And I remember how that was. But I saw the cuts on her arm. And, oh, man, my heart just went out to her. That's my little girl. And I loved her. And I just looked at her and I said, Christina, I am so sorry that you're so sad that you feel like you have to do this. No sermon, no anchor. I had a heart for her, even though she wasn't doing what was right. There's a verse in the Psalms, Psalms 145. It says, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord's good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. You know, you can read that and go, that's nice. Or you can read it and go, the Lord is gracious to me. The Lord is full of compassion for me. So, Alan, I hadn't been doing everything right. Yeah, but the Lord is full of compassion for you. He loves you. Slow to anger. Aren't you glad God is slow to anger? And great in mercy. Anybody here ever received some of the mercy of God when you hadn't been doing things right? The Lord's good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. That's you. That's me. And when you know how much God's got a heart for you, it makes it easier to have a heart for him. Jehoshaphat had a heart for God. And Jehoshaphat was a king. He was facing a problem. He had three armies coming against him. He did not have the forces to go against them. So he did the smart thing. He got everyone together and said, we're going to pray. And they all got together and prayed. And if you read his prayer, it's in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. It's a great prayer. He starts off with, God, you are God, and there's no one stronger than you. That's a good way to pray. God, you are bigger than whatever I'm facing. That's how he started. But then let's see how he concluded his prayer. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? Talking about the armies. We're powerless against this mighty army that's about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and their children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel. He was the son of a lot of guys. And he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens up into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions and stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then the king Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Jehoshaphat had a promise from God. God gave him a promise. Gave him a promise he wouldn't have to fight, that God would be with him, told him not to be discouraged. And what Jehoshaphat did, listen, this was just a word. The Holy Spirit moved on a man. He was one of the prophets, and he spoke up, and he spoke this promise out. And just based on that promise, they could see nothing. It's not like a mushroom cloud came up over the horizon, and they all went, oh, God just took care of them. There was nothing like that that happened. All they had was a promise. And based on that promise, Jehoshaphat bowed and began to worship God. They couldn't see a thing. And they're giving thanks and they're praising God for what they couldn't see. They were just praising him based on the promise. Now here's the good news for us. We can do the same thing. We've been given promises from God that we can give thanks for. You see, in this book, it's filled with all kinds of promises. Promises where God promises his peace, his salvation, his strength, his wisdom, his help. And when we begin to see those promises, we can look at them and go, oh, that's nice. Or we can begin to thank God for them. You see, in Hebrews, the 13th chapter is one of my favorites. It said, let your conversation, let your way of life be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, that's the promise. People may have left you. They may have abandoned you. But God said he will never leave you and never abandon you. You ought to be able to go, Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you that you will never leave me. I don't care who's left you. He will never leave you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I can say I've got help. You may be living all by yourself and you think nobody knows and nobody cares. That is not true. You got a promise from God that he will never leave you, never forsake you. He will never abandon you and he will help you and you don't have to be afraid. So here's the deal. You want to make that more real in your life? Oh, I wish that was true. All you've got to do is begin to get up and say, Lord, thank you that you are with me. Thank you. You never leave me. Thank you for your help in my life. Thank you. And you're thanking God for something you have not seen and not felt. But that's how we live, because we walk by faith, not by sight or feelings. Not by feelings. So you know, listen, feelings, feelings go whoop and down and up and down. We don't have to live that way. We can live for God. We can follow him. Wonderful promises. Promises from him. And so what do we do when we get those promises? Well, Hebrews 13 gives us one more example. It says, therefore, by him, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Guys, if you're looking for ways to get stronger in your faith, if you're looking for ways for God to be more real to you, that's one of the simplest things you can do, but it works. We just give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're with me today. Thank you that you're helping me today. Thank you. We're giving thanks. You say, well, I haven't seen any help yet. Well, we're not waiting to see. We believe before we see. We're thanking God. That's just what Jehoshaphat did. God promised, he's on his face going, thank you, Lord, thank you. We have answers. But then we get to see something Jehoshaphat did next. He expressed gratitude before he saw the promise fulfilled. Before. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be able to stand firm. Believe his prophets and you'll succeed. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. The very moment they begin to sing and give praise, the Lord calls the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. They're still doing that. The armies of Moab, Ammon, turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. And after they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. So, you know, you get a promise and they got that wonderful promise. They had that prayer meeting. They had a worship night. Everybody was worshiping like we did the other night. It was a woo night. Yeah, we We filled this place up. It was good. But you got to get up the next morning and go to work. They got up the next morning and they're going down and they're having to face the army. Now we're going to, this is the old phrase, where the rubber meets the road. But before they get down there, Jehoshaphat says, guys, we need to believe God. If we believe God, we'll be strong. Same thing applies today. We believe his prophets, we're going to succeed. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put the praise team up in front of the army. I don't think our team would like that. We're going to put them in front of the army because the Lord already said, you don't have to fight in this one. So this wasn't just they weren't trying to work anything. They were just like, Lord, if you said we don't have to fight, we might as well put our praise team up first. So here comes the army and the praise team is out front marching and singing and the army's right behind them. Praise the Lord. And then they get down and they see all the dead bodies. They didn't have to fight exactly like God had said. But Jehoshaphat began to give praise before they saw the answer. See, this is where we live. This is where we live this Christian life. We live this Christian life thanking God for things we've seen, things we believe before we see the answer. Not after, before. If you think about it, anyone can thank God after. We're the people that thank God before. Before that child turns around. Before your family situation changes. Before your job situation gets better. Before things take place in your body that you've been praying about. Before you get peace in your mind that you have wanted. We thank God ahead of time. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for how you're working. We have His promises. Giving thanks is something we can do. And then we let God do what He can do. And it makes a difference. Now, I told you about when Christina had such a difficult time, and we went through that with her. And the thing about it is, and many of you understand this, when there's something really traumatic going on in a family, it doesn't just impact that one person. It ripples out. It impacts the family. It impacted our family, especially Joy. Now, Joy is everything you think she is, strong, godly, a woman of prayer, a woman of faith. She's a blessing. She's a blessing to me. She's a blessing to this church. She prays for you guys a lot, and she loves you. But my strong wife was struggling. She and Christina were very close, and I'd never seen her this way. In fact, I looked at her one day, and I went, "Are you going to make it?" And I never forget, she looked at me, she said, "I don't know." And that rocked me, because I'd never heard Joy express that before. So I'm up praying, doing my devotions in the morning. And I was back in Psalms 145 again. And in verse 14, it says, "The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down." I read that. In the morning, I thought, well, that's good. And at night, we're getting ready to go to bed, and it's pillow talk. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Just talking. I said, "Oh yeah, Joy." I said, "I saw this today when I was reading. I think it's for Christina. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down." And Joy said something just went off in her. And the Holy Spirit made it alive to her. She said, "I rolled over, and for the first time, I had hope." Say, what, did Christina change? Not then. But Joy had something to hang on to. And Joy began to thank God. "Father, thank you. You are raising my daughter up who's been bowed down. Thank you. You are upholding." She'd fallen back. She wasn't doing everything right. She wasn't doing everything okay. But we're thanking God ahead of time because we had a promise. And we held on to that promise. Now, here's something that I want to share with you. It's so powerful. Listen to me on this. Romans, the fourth chapter, Paul writes, and he writes this to the church. He said, he's talking about Abraham. He said he did not waver or back off at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So as Joy began to say thank you, as we began to say, "Lord, thank you that you are raising up our daughter. She's bowed down. Thank you that you're doing that." What we're doing is we're not wasting our time. We're strengthening our grip on the promises of God. You see, some of you have had promises, and you've had things, and you have things that, and you're like, "Oh, Lord, when are they ever? When are they ever? When are we ever going to see it?" Instead of doing that, just start to thank Him before you see it. Strengthen your grip on it. See, gratitude is so powerful because it gives us something we can do to strengthen our faith in our God. And that's how we live. You say, "Did Christina turn around?" Yeah, she did. She began to change. She said, "I picked up my Bible." You ought to, if you haven't seen her testimony, you ought to watch, it's powerful. She said, "I picked up my Bible. I began to turn back to the Lord." She's been married now to a wonderful man. They got two beautiful kids. She is just wonderful. She is just a great strength, strong. Thanksgiving strengthened our grip. Christina said that in her testimony, and I didn't even know this until I was talking with her. She said one night she was just on the floor. She said she spent a lot of time just in a fetal position. She said, I was on the floor. And she said, my Bible was over on the floor. She said, I literally crawled over to it. And she said, I told God, I said, God, I know if you're real, you can talk to me. And she just opened her Bible. Now, I do not suggest that you do this. This is what we call Bible roulette. She opened, you don't want to do that. I heard of a guy who did that one time. He opened it up and he pointed to, and Judas went and hung himself. He went, oh, that's not good. So he asked for another verse, and he pointed to another verse and said, go thou and do likewise. Well, that's not God. But in all seriousness, if you have thought about taking your own life, I want to tell you that's not God's will for you. That's not His plan for you. You are valuable to Him. He loves you. And life is worth living if you will just hang on. My daughter had suicidal thoughts, but she's now a thriving mother of two and doing well, and you can too. She said when she opened her Bible, she came to Isaiah 30:18, said, therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you, and therefore He will be exalted that He may have mercy on you. And she realized, oh God, You'll be gracious to me. Even though I'm doing everything wrong, You'll be gracious to me. You'll have mercy on me. And life changed for her. It can change for you. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? You came this morning and you said, you know what, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I know that. He knows that. But I want one. Or maybe you're like I was. I had had a relationship with the Lord and I fell away. Christian term is backslide. I just went away from God. But the good news is you can come back. Even when you're not doing well, He loves you. You're welcome to return to Him. We're going to say a prayer. Not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come to the front. But His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And if you're watching online, this is for you as well. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. If you say, Alan, I want to be sure that I know where I am, stand with the Lord. Or I want to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you for that. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're going to pray this prayer. Online, we're going to pray. We're going to pray it here. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you wanted to pray the prayer. You can pray this with us. God sees hands. He sees hearts. We're going to pray this together with you out loud as a church family. If you're by yourself online, say, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to You. Now, with heads still bowed and eyes closed, Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer, for those who've come to You for the very first time and for those who've come back. We rejoice in what You're doing and the future they have in You. For those of us who know You, we say thank You. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You for Your word about us. Thank You for how much You love us. Thank You, Lord. It'll be our words from now throughout eternity. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.